Our psalm reading this morning is Psalm 148. Hear the word of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. He set them in place forever and ever. He gave a decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all ocean depths, lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding. You mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds, kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers on earth, young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. He has raised up for his people a horn, the praise of all his saints of Israel, the people close to his heart. Praise the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. And now as we prepare to hear the word proclaimed, let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for your presence with us this morning. We pray that through the power of your Spirit, you will inspire us to hear the words that you would have us hear. We thank you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I read the passage out of Revelation this morning, I want to set it up for us just a bit, since Revelation is somewhat of a unique book in the Bible. And first of all, I want you to know that it takes a certain amount of courage to preach from the book of Revelations. In fact, you would be amazed at how many people tell me they are afraid of Revelation. They don't understand it, and they avoid reading it. And I understand that. It contains some pretty frightening images, and some of the Apostle John's revelation is just plain hard to understand. Now, if it gives you any comfort, please understand that Revelation was written by John, the disciple whom Jesus loved. It indeed was a revelation that came to him near the end of his life, long after Jesus' resurrection and after the other disciples had died. John was exiled as a prisoner on the island of Patmos. So we look favorably on John, and we take comfort in the fact that he is the author of this particular book. And second, it should give you comfort to know that both Martin Luther and John Calvin, two of the most prominent leaders of our Reformed faith, wrote long and detailed commentaries on every book of the Bible except for one. Neither one of them would delve into Revelation. I have Calvin's complete set of commentaries in my office. They're all neatly bound, filling one entire shelf on a bookcase. In order, there is a commentary on 65 books of the Bible, but number 66 is not there. He didn't write it. You know, I had the pleasure of being a part of a small group who had dinner not long ago with Dr. Brian Blunt, the president of Union Presbyterian Seminary in Richmond. And he had just completed writing a book on Revelation. And the thing I remember him saying is exactly what I've said this morning. Many people are afraid of Revelation, but Dr. Blunt emphasized that it really is a book of hope. It is the Apostle John's confirmation that indeed Jesus will return, and we will see a new heaven and a new earth that will be very much to our liking. So keep that in mind as you now hear Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 17. This really is a beautiful passage, and yes, it is a passage of hope. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, who are they and where did they come from?" I answered, "Sir, you know." And he said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the Lord. Well, in the midst of intense persecution in a world that seems on the brink of collapse, the early Christians must have been wondering, is there hope? What they received was the book of Revelation, and it was written to seven churches in Asia Minor. John receives a vision of the risen Jesus Christ, an apocalyptic vision of strange beasts and cosmic battles, scrolls and trumpets, and ultimately a new heaven and a new earth. In today's passage, we see a multitude of people so large that no one can count them. This mass of people are from every nation and tribe. Now, this is a theological claim about the wholeness of the people of God. No one is excluded because of their nation or tribe. Everyone, all of the multitude, is praising God and saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Now, the Greek word for salvation also means deliverance. And Revelation 7 is a vision of well-being and peace for humanity. In this vision, those who stand before the throne acknowledge God and the Lamb as the ultimate source of all well-being and salvation. This may be a vision of a day yet to come, but it is also hope for today. You know, this grand reunion with God on the throne is hope for the future and hope for today. And the Lamb is the same risen Christ who died on a cross, the same risen Christ who entrusted his mother Mary to the care of John, the same risen Christ who walked with his disciples on the road to Emmaus, the same risen Christ that transformed Saul's life, and the same risen Christ who is present with us today. We already live in the kingdom of God, and we proclaim its truth to a world desperately in need of hope. We can have hope for this life because we know that the Spirit of the Lord is in this place. Now, in this life, we have hope because we have the opportunity to embody and make manifest this great multitude in heaven. We embody it each time we open our doors and worship with visitors and strangers. We embody it each time we care for others, each time we pray for comfort, each time we glorify God through an act of kindness. Our scripture passage says that the multitude in the new heaven and new earth are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them. For the Lamb at the center before the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Those are words of hope. As I read that, I think that there may be a reason John had a vision that included this image of hope. Remember that John walked with Jesus on earth. This image of the kind of God we will be worshiping in heaven sounds an awful lot like the promise of Jesus. Jesus called himself the Good Shepherd, and he showed us a loving and compassionate God who brings us hope for the future. God's kingdom is designed so that nothing will be left that can possibly divide us. The vision of the great multitude in Revelation is a startling one if we let it stand on its own. And I think many people read this passage as if the great multitude was made up of people who looked just like us. Well, that particular vision pales when we think about what it really says. John says that this multitude comes from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages. But the point of the vision is that the great multitude cuts across all of the ways in which we like to divide humanity and segregate others who are different from us. I think it is the vision of salvation that the book of Genesis articulates in the narrative of Abraham's call. In Genesis 12:3, it says, "In you all the families of the earth will be blessed." The implication here is clear. From start to finish, God's purpose is to restore all people. And the vision of the vast and diverse crowd around the throne in Revelation gives us an idea of what that might look like. This vision lies at the heart of the call in the book of Revelation to follow the way of the Lamb who was slain. Jesus Christ performed the ultimate act of sacrifice, and by so doing, he won the ultimate victory over evil and death and violence and injustice and even over the divisions of this world. The biblical writers insist that the act of sacrifice, that act by Jesus Christ, changed everything for everybody. It turned the world upside down. And every time one of us chooses to follow the way of the Lamb in a world that puts up so many barriers, we continue the process of turning the world upside down. But in the long run, I think we can take comfort from the assurance that one day the way of the Lamb will be vindicated. One day, all the walls and fences and boundaries and divisions in this world will be eliminated, and we will join with the multitudes envisioned by John. Where it says, "They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Let us pray. Almighty God, we do bow humbly before you. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your gift of Jesus Christ. And we pray, Lord, that through the power of your Spirit, you will continue to inspire us to live a life that is worthy of the vision of heaven that is expressed in the book of Revelation. Lord, it is a book that gives us hope, because when we know the entire story, we know that it is the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus Christ that makes it possible for all of us to join in that heavenly throng. Lord, we thank you for the way you have blessed this congregation. We thank you for visitors. We thank you for those who come to visit us and worship with us. We thank you for the people of this community who use this church for all of the many acts of kindness that we provide to our friends and neighbors. And Lord, we pray that this morning you will look kindly upon all of those who are not with us, the ones who are traveling or perhaps are sick or could not be here this morning for one reason or another. We pray for your blessing upon them. Lord, we do pray for those who are in need of healing or of your tender care. We do lift up to you Martin Dean Hilton. We lift up to you Virginia Martin. We lift up to you Josep Ocampo. We lift up to you Sophie, as at such a young age she faces yet a brain tumor. And Lord, we do indeed lift up to you our brother Tim, as he prepares to go for surgery this coming week. We pray that you will be with the doctors and the surgeons, and that the surgery will be successful. So Lord, thank you for all of the ways that you bless us. We praise you now, and we pray in the name of Christ our Lord, the one who taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now let us respond to God's word by returning our gifts to him.